What are we doing tonight, huh? What are we doing tonight? It is Halloween. Yes, indeed. If you think I'm doing this voice, by the way, for the entire stream, you are out of your mind, okay? That is not going to happen. I made that mistake once many years ago. I will not do that again. But here we are. It is the Halloween edition of the SmackDown Review. Yes. If we're going to do Halloween, we got to do it the right way. And let me tell you something, the Macho Monster is here. The Macho Monster is probably going to be more entertaining than this shit show was tonight, okay? I'm actually kind of pissed off that I even have to talk about this show. What a waste of a fucking show. You know, I am old enough to remember. I'm old enough to remember back in the day when they would have these Halloween shows. And you would have wrestlers dressed up in costume in the back. They would have like a costume party. I mean, it's what saved John Cena's career. Him being dressed up as a rapper is what saved his career all those many years ago. And they would go backstage throughout the night. You'd have these different backstage segments. Where's the fun? Where's the fun? Why are we having more fun here than they had on the television show tonight? Take these off. So I can see what I'm doing here. Yeah. Put these over here. You know, I came prepared tonight. You got to have beef and you got to have spice. If you're going to do the Macho Monster, you got to have a Slim Jim. Yeah. We're going to have the, we can put these down over here. Anyway, usually with these Halloween shows in years past, they would have some fun with it. Unfortunately, there is no fun to be had with this episode of SmackDown tonight, because this episode of SmackDown was very boring. It was a very boring episode of SmackDown, outside of what else? I'll give you one guess what the best part of the show was tonight. Of course, the U.S. Title Open Challenge. Thank God they continued with this gimmick after Sami Zayn lost the championship. We have Ilya Dragunov to save us each week, and tonight was no different. He had a great match with Nathan Frazier. Outside of that one match, there is not a single thing I can point to on this show that I would sit here and tell you is worth your time to go back and watch if you did not already see it. In fact, the only two things I will mention here before we even get into the review. In the main event segment, we had a contract signing for tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night, Saturday night's main event, we have a WWE Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. And so what they did tonight was they added a couple of stipulations to the match. They made things a little more interesting. Because now, all of a sudden, if Cody Rhodes gets himself disqualified or if Cody Rhodes gets himself counted out, he can lose the championship. Which at least makes it that much more plausible that maybe Drew McIntyre might win the title. But for the fact that Drew McIntyre was the man standing tall at the end of the episode tonight, and that coupled with the fact that I would bet the house that we are going to have a brand new WWE Women's Champion, it still paints what I believe is a very bleak picture of whether or not Drew McIntyre is actually going to leave Salt Lake City as the world champion tomorrow night. As in, I don't think it's happening. Even though by adding these stipulations, they made it that much more likely, you would think, that maybe Randy Orton gets involved in the match. Because now Cody could lose the title on a disqualification. The stipulation is built right in. But it still doesn't feel to me like that's what we're going to get. Now, the other thing was the U.S. Title Open Challenge. So making the main event, or maybe it's not the main event tomorrow, but making the championship match tomorrow a little bit more likely that maybe Drew might walk away with the title. I like that. I like them adding those stipulations. And the Ilya Dragunov match. And beyond that, what do we have? We had the MFTs were on the show. And again, each passing week, it looks more and more likely that the MFTs are going to find themselves in the War Games match at Survivor Series. Yes, the Juggalos are going to be in the War Games match at Survivor Series. Sure looks that way to me. The rest of this show, you'll see when we get into it. We're going to cover the entire thing here. I don't know why, but whatever. It's Halloween, so we'll celebrate Halloween and have a good time. This is your SmackDown Halloween review. It is October 31st, 2025.
I am the Macho Monster. Uh-huh, yeah, a cup of coffee in the big time.
I wish I had some coffee. I don't even drink coffee. If I had some coffee right now, I would drink it, but I got this. I'll let you guess what's in here. Had to be something real strong to get me to put this costume back on. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. I've already had a bunch of them come in, and hopefully we'll have more, and I will read them. And we'll hang out, and we'll have some fun as we go along here in the stream. So let's get into this show here, because we saw, we had the usual opens of this show where they show all the wrestlers arriving at the building. We saw Cody Rhodes, and we saw Drew McIntyre. We saw Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, who had a match tonight, not a very good one, which we will talk about. And they showed Jade Cargill, and Jade Cargill was walking backstage. She was wearing a Punisher-themed costume, like a Punisher-themed outfit, which is going to be important when I tell you what she came out in when the show actually started. So they were showing footage of her attack on Tiffany Stratton from last week's show. And then Tiffany Stratton walks by the announce desk while they were on camera and she had a microphone. Tiffany wants Jade Cargill to come out to confront her. Nick Aldis emerges from the back. He tells her, look, you're not cleared for any contact outside of your match tomorrow night. So Jade walks out. But now Jade is wearing a different outfit. Jade now, oh my, Jade comes out here and she is dressed up in a tight leather Catwoman costume from Batman. Don't tell Joseph. I'm sure he was very excited when Jade walked out in that Catwoman costume. So she went from Punisher to Catwoman. The Catwoman look, by the way, a very good look for her. She should keep that. Actually, she could probably, honestly, she could probably just wear that to Saudi for the Royal Rumble in a few months. That's probably the same outfit she's going to be wearing there anyway. So she tells Tiffany from the aisle that she didn't want to fight because it didn't really serve her. All she wanted was her title match on Saturday night's main event. So she said that this was the best part of the entire segment, outside of what Jade was wearing. So the second best part of this entire segment was she meant to say that Tiffy time was up and that she was going to be the new champion. For whatever reason, she said that taffy time is up. Now, I don't have any taffy here myself. Perhaps some of you gave it away to the neighborhood kids for Halloween. I do have, though, this wonderful Slim Jim right here. So, it's taffy time, everybody. Tomorrow night on Saturday night's main event. And it's also time to crown a new world champion because Jade Cargill will ascend to the throne that I'm sure they intended to place upon her head from the moment she debuted on TV. She will get her crowning moment tomorrow night. Now, Tiffany left the ring. She went to go after Jade, and they were separated by officials. This was not much of a segment, but it made sense at least that Tiffany would be angry after what happened last week. She would be very, shall we say she would be in a mood where she wanted to get her hands promptly on Jade Cargill. So, I like that. At least she just walked out there, no fancy entrance or anything, but nothing happened. It was just to remind you that we have a big championship match tomorrow night. That's it. She was also, I should point out, selling the injured knee. Now, if you remember in the attack last week, there was a spot there on the outside where Jade stomped on Tiffany's leg, stomped on her knee. That's obviously going to play a role in her losing in her match tomorrow night. I briefly flirted with the idea. I had to go get something at the grocery store earlier. And, it's Halloween. So I briefly debated walking to the supermarket dressed like this. But I just said, you know what? It's probably for the better that I don't. First of all, I would probably trip over these fucking tassels. Look at this shit. Look at this. This is ridiculous. Fucking trip. I crack my skull open. My God. I'll tell you what, though. If there was a Halloween costume contest somewhere, the winner right here. So anyway, we go backstage. R-Truth handed out candy. He was dressed as Santa Claus. He's handing candy out to the Motor City Machine Guns. They try to convince him that it's Halloween. It's not Christmas. To no avail. Solo Sikoa walks up and he recalled the Machine Guns defeating the MFTs a year ago. Has it been a year? I guess it has been. They beat them a year ago for the tag team titles. Solo said that they were back in line for a title shot. The Guns, though, believed that they were next in line. Chris Sabin suggested a match later in the show to settle it, and Solo said that was a good idea. So we had an impromptu match made for later in the night. The tassels may have gotten caught in the grocery store door. Yeah, you would have heard. That's some Final Destination shit right there. Can you imagine? I'm walking in, and it would not be difficult. One of these tassels gets caught in the door. Or if it had like an escalator, I was going down the escalator or something. It's probably a good idea I didn't go. Now in the arena, finally, we get to the one redeeming part of this shit show tonight. Ilya Dragunov was out to the ring for the next entry in the United States Championship Open Challenge. And we heard Fraxium's music. So Nathan Frazier comes out to claim his shot. But Tommaso Ciampa's music plays. He storms down to the ring to show him up. He's going to claim it for himself. And there you go. I mean, I just talked about that. I did a whole segment on the podcast this weekend, which, by the way, I got more feedback to that segment than I have in a long time. Positive feedback. People wanting me to do that every week. I can't do it. I mean, I probably could find something to talk about every week as far as dumb wrestling tropes. I'm sure we'll do more of that in the future. So it was very well received, but I just talked about open challenges as one of the wrestling tropes that just bugs the shit out of me, where when you have an open challenge like this, rarely, if ever, right? Maybe once in NXT, I vaguely remember them doing something like this for the North American title. But you should have a line of people in the backstage, like at the gorilla position, crawling over each other to be the first person to come out to claim their shot when there's a championship open challenge like this. But they wait patiently and someone's music plays. Is there like a fucking little board in the back and the first person to sign their name is the one who gets the shot? Like, come on, man. So here we go, where Nathan Frazier is coming out, but then he gets passed by Tommaso Ciampa. See, it's not quite what I was talking about, but that's kind of the idea. So he comes out. And Dragunov said, look, the open challenge was for everyone, but to be fair, Frazier got there first. And he said there was no reward for jackasses. And so it was Ilya Dragunov against Nathan Frazier for the United States Championship. Frazier landed some knees. He sent Dragunov to the floor. Then he dove through the ropes and he took out the champion. Dragunov cut Frazier down hard with the chop. Frazier then retreated to the apron. Dragunov used a kick to knock him to the floor and into the announce desk. And then on the floor, Dragunov delivered a German suplex, and that took us into a commercial break. So Dragunov was lightly bleeding from the forehead. I didn't see how it happened. It was incidental blood. You could tell it's not a lot of blood when the referee doesn't bother to put the gloves on. So there was a little bit of blood. It was gone very quickly. Frazier escaped the German suplex attempt and landed a springboard into a reverse DDT. This was smooth, and he landed the move, and then he had a running shooting star press for a two count. Dragunov took to the top rope. Nobody was home. The champion missed another senton from the top, and Frazier capitalized with a frog splash for a close near fall in our second commercial break here of this match. Frazier landed a knee on Dragunov as he was perched in the corner. He attempted a head scissors out of the corner. Dragunov, he held on. He blocked two different attempts here, and he was attempting a powerbomb. He's going to powerbomb this man now from the top. Frazier, though, reversed the move into a head scissors takedown all the way to the mat. Frazier then dove on Dragunov on the outside and drop-kicked him into the steel steps. He tossed the champion back into the ring. He went up top, and he landed a picture-perfect Phoenix splash for a very close near fall. Frazier went back to climb the ropes. Dragunov tried to meet him up there, but he got knocked down. And Frazier continued climbing, but he got chopped down by Dragunov, who delivered a German suplex off the ropes. And Nathan Frazier took a horrifying fall right on the back of his neck that looked really bad. This was very scary. This was appropriate for Halloween. This was very scary. But he was okay, at least in the moment. I mean, the adrenaline is flowing. I'm sure when it wears off, he might not be feeling too good. But he got up. And he took a hard power bomb by Dragunov. And Dragunov quickly followed with the H-bomb. Just smashed him right in the face. And he got the pin to retain the title. So after the match was over, Dragunov showed respect to Frazier, raised his hand. Frazier left the ring, and he was immediately ambushed from behind by Tommaso Ciampa. And then they took a bit of an awkward cut to a break. It just cut to a break. And that was it. Nathan Frazier's chest looked like raw meat when this match was over. He had the shit chopped out of him here. But it's not that. I'm not worried about his chest. I'm worried about the guy's neck. Holy shit. That bump off the top was no bueno. Another banger in a long line of them here in this series. Dragunov picked up right where Sami Zayn left off, and he has looked fantastic since coming back, and I have to give them credit. This was the perfect spot for him to return in. He has been a featured player. He's a champion. He's on television consistently, and to me, honestly, that's the most important thing. Even more than holding a championship, you need consistent television time that emphasizes your strengths. So think about what is being done here, right? He's getting consistent television time every single week, and his core strength is his in-ring ability. It's his matches. And so these open challenges are perfect. He's not coming out here every week cutting promos. He's not coming out here every week having squash matches. He's coming out every week and getting 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes of ring time to showcase what he can do. And he's getting the crowd into his matches. I mean, it's the perfect formula for someone like him. So as long as they keep this going, he will continue to get himself that much more over with each passing match. And I don't know how long they're going to take this. I'm sure 6 months from now, we won't be getting Ilya Dragunov open challenges. But for the time being, honestly, this was the perfect spot to bring him back to. Now, there was a brawl that broke out during the break in the back with Fraxium and DIY. Dragunov got involved. He tried to calm things down. And he turned around and he found Tama Tonga holding his United States Championship. And he gave Dragunov the, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's all he says. He doesn't know how to say anything else. And he walked off. So I guess now we know, I don't know if he'll be the next one. But we know, obviously, who one of his upcoming challenges, if not his next challenger, is going to be. And hopefully he gets beat too. We had Carmelo Hayes against Kit Wilson of Pretty Deadly. Wilson landed a twisting DDT early on for a near fall. Hayes replied with a cutter and a DDT. Wilson rolled to the floor to regroup. Hayes, though, splashed him on the floor. He tossed Wilson back inside. And all of a sudden, The Miz appears from behind at ringside because Carmelo Hayes just deposited Kit Wilson back into the ring. He has his back turned. He's posing for the crowd. And The Miz sneaks up behind him and he throws him into the ring post. And he ends up back in the ring and Wilson follows up with a top rope elbow drop. Not quite like the Macho Man's, but an elbow drop nonetheless for a close near fall. Not really a very believable near fall. They tried. They wanted you to believe that maybe he would get the shock win. But let's be honest. Nobody really expected him to win this match. So then Hayes recovered and he delivered a first 48 to Kit Wilson to put this thing away. After the match was over, Hayes was he was celebrating. But he was kind of like looking around like, what the hell? Like he didn't know what just happened. Like he didn't know who attacked him. Like, dude. So, of course, The Miz gets in the ring and once again sneaks up behind him and he drops him with a skull crushing finale. And so Mello just looked like an idiot for looking around like, oh, gee, I wonder what just happened here. Yeah, gee, I wonder. Who's the guy that I've been beefing with since, my God, how long has this been going on for? How far back does this partnership go between them? Because Hayes won the Andre Battle Royal, right? That was this year. And then he had the big, the giant chain, right? Dre. That had to be the WrestleMania this year. So Miz and Mello have been together at least since before WrestleMania this year. This shit is still going on. But gee, I wonder who attacked me from behind. I have no idea. I have no idea what happened. The match here, if anything, went longer than it should have. We didn't need even the 3 minutes that we got for Carmelo Hayes and Kit Wilson. And again, the Mello and Miz feud, as a feud, you know, they've been telling this story and building it up for so long. It's fine. It's not going to light the world on fire. It is not the highlight of SmackDown or anything like that. It's fine. But honestly, for Mello, the faster he, you know, takes care of the Miz and ends this and moves on to whatever it is that comes next, better off he'll be. whatever that is, whatever it is that comes next, as long as they have something in mind for him when this feud is over. Because if they don't, I don't know what the point of any of this was. The point should have been to slowly build up Carmelo Hayes. If you end the feud with The Miz and he wins, and then you have nothing for him and he's not getting consistent television time, right? Like an Ilya Dragunov, everything you've done is wasted. You've wasted his time. You've wasted, as the viewer, our time. And you've taken someone in Carmelo Hayes who's super talented and could be one of the people you build around here on this show. I'm not saying he's, you know, the biggest up-and-coming young star on the show, but he certainly has the ability to be, I think, a big player on this show. Then you have to treat him that way. So I sure hope that when this is over, they have something in mind for him. My fear is that they're going to just match him up with one of the MFTs. Hopefully they can do a little bit better than that. Now backstage, Sami Zayn was in Nick Aldis's office. And he asked, even though he knows, he says he's not medically cleared. I know I'm not cleared, but I want to have the Motor City Machine Guns back tonight in their match against the MFTs. He said he just wants to be out there. And now Aldis tells him, look, you know, it's only going to make things worse. So I'm asking you, sit this one out. Cody Rhodes shows up and he had a friendly exchange with Sammy. He told him he was proud of what he did with the U.S. title. Aldis then asked Cody very bluntly, did you have anything to do with the attack on Jacob Fatu 2 weeks ago? It's a great question. Talk about Final Jeopardy here. And Cody said, no. He says, I like Jacob and I'm sorry about what happened. And Aldis said, well, that's good enough for me. Not for me, it's not. I don't buy it for a second. I think there's more to it than meets the eye. So then he was asked by Aldis, did you read the contract for Saturday night's main event? And he said, yeah, everything looks on the up and up to me, but you got to show it to Drew. Now, elsewhere in the back, the pimp monster. I don't know. I mean, I'm taking your guys' word for it. Is this how pimps dress here in 2025? I can't say I have any experience with any of them. So maybe they do dress like this. I don't know. I kind of want to go out now and see what the reaction is walking around in this costume. So elsewhere in the back, Alexa Bliss and Charlotte were interviewed. And Bliss was asked about being attacked by the Kabuki Warriors. And speaking of which, asked about being attacked by the Kabuki Warriors and said that she and Charlotte would be ready for them. She was asked about Nia Jax, and Alexa said that Nia has been bitter for her entire career, and that's why she has no friends. And she would teach Nia why she had outgrown her. And that led into Nia Jax against Alexa Bliss. We're celebrating here like it's 2018. All over again. Uh-huh, yeah. Take that to the bank. So Nia landed a splash in the corner and taunted the crowd. Bliss replied with some slaps. She got knocked down by a body block. The action spilled to the floor, where Nia tossed Bliss into the barricade before backing down from Charlotte. Jax tossed Alexa into the corner. She attempted a running splash. Bliss moved out of the way. Charlotte helped Alexa get back into the ring after being sent out to the floor a few times. So Bliss started to come back with a neck wringer using the ropes, and Bliss set up for a DDT. She got shoved, though, into the corner. And Nia charged in. She got her shoulder, though, run into the post when Alexa moved out of the way. Bliss climbed to the top. Nia, though, pulled her down with a Samoan drop, only for a near fall. So the match spilled to the floor again. Nia shoved Charlotte and told her, stay out of it. Back in the ring, Nia set up for the Annihilator. Charlotte, though, jumped up on the apron for the distraction, and that allowed Alexa to kick Nia's legs out from under her, and Nia takes a spill backwards, and then Alexa stacks her up for the pin. This was a very boring match. That's what this was, and it didn't help that Nia had control for a large part of it, so it was very boring, and it just wasn't very good. And these two have had a lot of matches in the past going back many years. This will not go down as one of the best matches of their series, maybe the worst. This everything about this match was off, and the finish was flat, and the crowd was dead, and nobody cared. I mean, for the entrances, sure, but once the match began, nobody gave a shit. I don't blame them. We've seen these women do better, so this was not their best outing. And now Charlotte is going to get in the ring with Nia next week. We'll see if they do better. Now, backstage, Solo Sikoa. Oh, my God. Here we go again. Solo Sikoa was walking with his juggalos when Rey Fénix interrupted them. And Fénix said he didn't want a piece of Solo. He don't want no piece of this. He wanted a piece of Tala Tonga. Yeah, the giant. He wanted Tala Tonga because Tala Tonga is the one who attacked him previously. So Solo said, well, you could have the match next week. And then Fénix slapped Tala and left. And Solo prevented Tala Tonga from retaliating so they could focus on the main event. And Tala Tonga said nothing here. All he did was scream after he got slapped. Arr! He was very angry. But he didn't say anything. So what I'm gathering here from the MFTs, and I think part of the reason they're so boring, is that evidently, outside of Solo Sikoa, none of them have the ability to speak. They grunt. They scream. They shriek. They make noises. I thought I saw JC Mateo speak actual words many months ago, but it was so long ago, maybe I'm just hallucinating. I don't know. But Solo is the only one who can seemingly communicate in the English language here in this group. One guy screams, one guy goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody else just stares like a mute. We don't hear from them at all. That's the MFTs. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. I don't know too many people who like to hear that word. I know I don't. I didn't like hearing it as a kid, and I don't like hearing it as an adult. But see, here's the difference. When Mint says no, that means no contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees. Basically, no BS. Which is why I said yes to making the switch and getting premium wireless for just $15 a month. I don't know about you guys, but I hate overpriced wireless. I cannot stand it. Unexpected overages and hidden fees, I mean, those make me even angrier. And a lot of providers get away with it because they can. With Mint Mobile, you don't have any of that. And plans start at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, all delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and your own phone number with any Mint Mobile plan and bring along all of your existing contacts, too. Since using Mint, their service has been fast and reliable. No drop calls or, I can barely hear you, are you 20,000 leagues under the sea? Like I've had with other carriers. And when I pay my bill now compared to what it used to be, I just shake my head at how much money I could have been saving each month. And for better service, too. I'm glad I gave Mint a shot, and you will be too, especially with this special offer for Solomonster listeners. Ready to say yes to saying no? Make the switch at mintmobile.com/Solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/Solomonster. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. We got a video with Damian Priest where he told Aleister Black he didn't initially hate him, but he made it personal for them both. Obviously, he didn't appreciate getting a fireball to the face. And he said that punishment would come for him. In the back, Nick Aldis was still trying to talk Tiffany Stratton out of wrestling tomorrow night, but she said, nope, I want the match. I'll be fine. And they were interrupted by Julia and Kiana James. Ah, wait, I stand corrected. Roderick, you are correct. He said, they all said, I love you, Solo. Except Tama. He said, Tama did not say that. So, okay. So they have expanded their vocabulary to say, I love you, Solo, which, by the way, is a great thing to say. I think everybody should be saying that. But that's about the only thing that I've ever heard the MFTs say. They need to work on that. So Nick Aldis and Tiffany Stratton were interrupted by Julia and Kiana James. Kiana said that judging by the shape that Tiffany is in, Tiffy time, or Taffy time, is almost up. And Tiffany really should have accepted their offer for backup. Tiffany threatened her, so Julia butted in and said that after tomorrow, Tiffany won't be talking at all. And Tiffany walked off, and in walked Chelsea Green. Walked up to Nick Aldis. She had Alba Fire with her. And Julia was still there, and Kiana was still there. And Chelsea demanded a chance to defend her streak as the longest reigning women's United States champion of all time. All time. This is a storied, revered championship here with a lot of rich wrestling history to it. It hasn't even been around for a full year yet. But Chelsea said that in 9 days, I guess her streak will fall, and so she wants the chance to try to win back her championship. And Julia agreed to the match, so Nick Aldis made it official for next week. And then Chelsea was all excited and talking to Alba, and then she screamed because standing behind them was Nikki Cross, who had some blood on her outfit. She had her mask on, obviously. The rest of the Wyatt Six were not here. Which, think about it, it's a little weird, don't you think? I mean, we know why Bo Dallas is not here. That's understandable. But as far as the rest of the Wyatt Six, it's Halloween. How do you have a Halloween episode and you don't have the Wyatt Six on there? So I guess they were just, you know, well, we'll get Nikki Cross on the show. At least they'll have a representative. Okay. She didn't speak either. She didn't do anything. They cut away and that was the last we saw of her or anybody else from the Wyatt Six. So they came back from commercial. And, oh, this was something else here. I forgot all about this. They come back from commercial, and they are plugging the college football game tomorrow between the number 17 Cincinnati Bearcats and the number 24 Utah Utes. I had to, like, go back and, like, what did he say? You ever see My Cousin Vinny? It was Joe Pesci when he's talking about Utes and he calls them the Utes. I think the judge was like, what'd you say? Utes, couple of Utes. It's the first thing I thought of. So apparently they're the Utah Utes, whatever that's short for. I have no idea. So there's a game between them tomorrow. Hopefully that game is not on ABC. Not that I would be watching the game anyway, but if I wanted to, I wouldn't be able to because YouTube TV yanked all the Disney networks. So fuck you, YouTube TV, and fuck you, Disney. Greedy bastards. So anyway, right, we got a big college football game tomorrow. They pitch it to footage. Now, why am I even talking about this? Why is this relevant? Because they send it to footage from earlier today. They tape something at the arena because the crowd is full. It's not like an empty arena. And what they did was they taped a match between the two team mascots. They got their own entrances and everything. One of them was a Bearcat, and he came down to the ring. And the other one was a Red-Tail Hawk. The Hawk was the fan favorite because they were in Utah. Corey Graves said the Bearcat was trying to carry on the legacy of great Bearcats of the past, like Wright and Lee. And I popped. I popped for that. I cannot lie. I said, are they gonna slip a mention in? And sure enough, Corey Graves did. Good old Bearcat Lee. Never forget. Never forget Bearcat Lee. So the Hawk, they said the Hawk's name was Swoop. I tells you what's in this glass here. I thought they said Snoop. I'm like, Snoop. The Hawk's name was Swoop, we were told. He did a people's elbow, which Michael Cole referred to as the people's wing. And Corey finished it off by saying, Swoop, there it is. Yeah. There you go. That's what I thought of this segment. That's what I thought of this show tonight. Swoop, there it is. That's 3 minutes of my life that I will never be able to get back. But it was almost worth it for the Bearcat joke. Not quite, but almost. Almost. We had the Motor City Machine Guns against the MFTs. So the Machine Guns, they had the upper hand early on. They came back from a break with Tama Tonga having Alex Shelley in a rest hold as the MFTs held the advantage. Shelley escaped with a flatliner to the middle turnbuckle to JC Mateo, which allowed Chris Sabin to tag in. And Sabin held his own for a little bit as Shelley got the all clear for the suicide dive out to the floor. A solo Sokoa distraction allowed Tonga Loa to dump Alex Shelley from the top rope, followed by the not-so-hidden blade of Tama Tonga. He's now calling this, he's calling this the cutthroat. It's his version of a Will Ospreay hidden blade, but not as good. But it won. I guess it's good enough to win. So the MFTs pick up the win. after the match was over, Solo Sikoa had the NFTs. Both of those things suck, by the way. He had the MFTs attack the machine guns until Rey Fénix ran out. And he got some offense in on Big Tala Tonga here before the Giant mowed him down with a big boot. That brought out Shinsuke Nakamura, who attempted to make the save. He was not entirely successful here. And so he got laid out as well, thanks to the numbers game. What can I say about this match? It was a match. How's that for a review? It was a match. The MFTs bore the shit out of me, and no amount of paint is going to change that. The crowd was bored with this too. I don't blame them. Anybody who's going to complain about the crowd in Utah tonight, look, I hope they're more lively for Saturday night's main event tomorrow, but I am not going to sit here and say, oh, the crowd, man, this was a dead crowd today. Yeah, no shit. Did you see the show that they put on tonight? I would be dead too. First of all, I wouldn't pay those ticket prices to go to a show like that. But if I did, I'd probably be slumped over in my chair in deep REM sleep. I don't blame them. Don't hold it against them. It's not their fault. But I'm telling you about War Games. War Games, because we're still hearing that the War Games is supposed to be the vision against a team with Roman and Punk. And look, I hope it is. Because of the two options here, that's the more desirable option. Even though I'll be honest with you, I really don't think there's a need for a men's War Games match this year. You could do a women's War Games match and do something else in lieu of a men's. But of course, we got to get one, we got to get the other. But it just feels to me, I'm watching these shows, and a few weeks ago it was like, man, are they going to set up the MFTs and the Wyatt Six? And then outside of a Nikki Cross cameo tonight, the Wyatt Six have not been on the show. Right? We had that little face-off between the two groups a few weeks ago, but nothing since. Which is fine with me. A little strange. But Sami Zayn had told Nick Aldis earlier in the show, please let me go out there. Let me be in the corner of the machine guns just to watch their back against the MFTs. And Aldis wouldn't allow him to do so. So now Rey Fénix comes out there and he's getting mowed down. Nakamura is going out there. He's getting mowed down. We know Sami Zayn is going to want to get his hands on Solo Sikoa. So that's three guys right there. And the machine guns just got beat down. Are we looking at the MFTs against Sami Zayn, Rey Fénix, Shinsuke Nakamura, and the Motor City Machine Guns? Is that what we're looking at for a War Games match? I mean, sure, it would get those guys a spot on the show at Survivor Series. I would love for all those guys to have maybe not about the MFTs, but you know, the rest of these guys, I would love for them to have a real spot on that show, but I can't say that that's a War Games match that really interest me, or that it's one of these rivalries that really warrants the need for a War Games match. So now we're getting into this territory, which is, you know, one of the things that I worried about, because this is what happened with Hell in a Cell, where you have War Games every year, and even when you don't have the rivalry, you don't have the story, right, to support it, we got to do War Games because it's that time of year. And that's something that, like, Hell in a Cell and War Games, it should never be about that. It should never be about, well, it's that time of year, right? You should have some sort of hot feud, or even a couple of them, maybe if you want to merge them together and people kind of pair off. And it just feels like this year they really don't have that. And it's going to feel very forced if they do that. Now, with people like Rey Fénix and Sami Zayn in there, I trust they could find a way to make it work. But as I sit here right now, we are heading into Survivor Series in a matter of weeks, right? About a month now. I wish I could sit here and tell you that I was excited to see War Games. I'm really not. I'm really not. And I can say the same, by the way, for Blood and Guts in AEW. Do you realize that in the month of November, we are poised to basically have four War Games matches? Four of them within like a two-week time span. That's a lot. That's too much, is what that is. And not a single one of them, not a single one of them. I could sit here and tell you, oh man, this feud's been building up for so long. That's going to be a War Games match right there. No, no. I mean, in AEW, they actually have had the women beefing, you know, for a number of months where, you know, you could at least say, okay, I could see that. And frankly, I think you could say the same thing even for the women in WWE. You know, so the women's War Games matches this year seem to have more juice to them than the men's do. But we'll see how they play out. We'll see. Maybe it won't be the MFTs. Holding out hope. 4 War Games matches. It's crazy. Now in the back, Nick Aldis asked Drew McIntyre if he had read over the contract for Saturday night's main event. And Drew said, I did. Aldis said, do you have any issues with it? McIntyre said, nope. And Aldis was very skeptical. McIntyre told him, look, I know you have a highly stressful job. Instead of worrying that I'm going to go out there with a live microphone and say something I shouldn't, relax. I'll see you out there. And that led to the closing segment, the contract signing, with Nick Aldis in the ring to introduce first the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, out in his orange Halloween suit. And then Drew McIntyre was out. And sure enough, when it came time to sign the damn contract, McIntyre said, I can't. Now, Cody signed the contract. Cody had no issue with it. He signed the contract straight away. Drew said he couldn't do it. He said, this contract is far too lopsided. And Aldis said, it's the standard WWE championship contract, and he demanded that McIntyre sign it. So Drew asked him, if I get disqualified tomorrow, what happens? Cody keeps the title. If I get counted out tomorrow, what happens? Cody keeps the title. What about Cody? What if he gets himself disqualified? And this is a fair point, actually. What if he gets himself disqualified the same way that he did a few weeks ago? He keeps the title. What happens if Cody gets counted out? He keeps the title. Yeah, it's called the champion's advantage, by the way. But he's pointing all of these different things out. And Aldis said, you know what? You don't want to sign this? Fine. I'm sure that we have plenty of men in the back right now who would love to go in there and wrestle Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. Take your place. So Drew called his bluff. He said, okay, go get one of them. And he stood up to go leave. Cody heard enough, though. He told Drew, sit down. And Cody asked him if he wanted a clause added to the contract that said that if Cody gets counted out, he loses the title. And Drew said, yes. And Cody said, do you want a clause in the contract that if I get disqualified, that you win the title? And Drew said, yes. And Cody said he's 100% fine with that. Now, Nick Aldis tried to talk him out of it because, of course, Nick Aldis is playing favorites here. But he's trying to talk Cody Rhodes out of this. And Cody said, with all due respect, Nick, if Drew thinks he wants an easy way out with me, I don't give a damn. So Drew said, great, I'll sign now. And Aldis again tried to explain that he wasn't happy about this, but Cody cut him off and told him, make it happen so that we could finally end this. And Aldis said, okay. And with that, Drew signed the contract. So Drew said he's happy, but also sad that the two of them should be friends right now. After riding a lot of the same roads for 20 years, he just doesn't like how Cody goes about his business. He represents, he being Cody, represents corporate America, he said. He acts like Captain America, but it's true. You know, he does come off corporate Cody. That's a real thing. And you would think the fans would hate him for it, but they cheer him every single week. Cody is the American nightmare, but Drew said that he does things the right way. He works hard. He tells the truth. He doesn't use his influence. He's from another country. He's an American citizen. He goes, you know who he is? He's the real American dream. Ooh. That got under Cody's skin. He didn't like that very much. Cody said he's proud to keep bringing up their parallel paths. He's fine with that. He puts Drew over. He puts his career path over. He said there are still people following Drew's path as Drew had to climb that mountain all over again. He says we owe him a debt of gratitude for what he did and how he built himself up until WWE called him back. This is where they're different, though. Cody says, when I got frustrated with WWE, I walked out. You got fired. And then Cody used this line. I would love to know who came up with this. He used the line, "Nice guys used to finish last until I came along." Or until I showed up, however he phrased it. But that was the gist of it. And he went to go leave, and Drew said, "Look, I'm not letting you have the last word, like you always do." And he mocked Cody. He says, "Oh, man of the people, look at you wearing your orange suit for Halloween." And he said that he should be trick-or-treating tonight with his daughters. He goes, "What are their names again?" And that was it. As soon as he brought up Cody's family, Cody attacked him. And then Cody went to go blast him with the belt, but Drew ducked it and bailed out to the floor. And Michael Cole pointed out that if Cody Rhodes did that tomorrow night on Saturday night's main event, he would lose the championship. So Nick Aldis confronted Cody. Cody shoved him out of the way, though, when he noticed Drew got back in the ring. Cody ate a Claymore kick, and then Drew powerbombed him through the table and posed with the belt, and he knelt down beside Cody, and he swore. He swore that he would take the title tomorrow. So the big takeaway here is that Drew stood tall to close the show and end this segment. That is a bad omen. If you are a Drew McIntyre fan, and if you are hoping for a WWE championship change tomorrow night, not good. It's not looking good. And it's too bad, because I like the fact that they actually did add some of these stipulations, because it adds a little more intrigue to the match. It makes it more plausible that he might actually win. Drew might actually win the title. But again, as much as it would make sense, especially now, for Randy Orton to show back up, he had beef with Drew, right? He shows up and it leads to him accidentally costing Cody the championship. I will say this. You know, with this stipulation, if let's say Randy Orton was to show up tomorrow night and did something to get Cody, you know, accidentally disqualified, that would be a lame way for the WWE Championship to change hands. Like, it would be one thing if Randy got involved and, you know, sort of accidentally or accidentally on purpose did something that ultimately led to Drew beating Cody. But, like, it's one thing if he pins him. If the match ends in a disqualification because Randy Orton gave Drew McIntyre an RKO, and that's how Drew McIntyre backdoors his way into a WWE Championship, that would be pretty lame. But I don't feel any differently than I did days ago when I did my predictions. And I said that I just, as much as I would love to see it, and I wholeheartedly endorse them going ahead and changing the championship tomorrow, even if it's just a short-term thing, I can't see them doing it. If we're going to have a new World Heavyweight Champion crowned on this show, and if Jade Cargill is going to beat Tiffany Stratton to win the WWE Women's Championship, I don't see them also changing the title here. I don't see any issue with them doing it, you know, having like three different title changes like that. But I don't see them doing it. And if they don't, and Cody goes in there, even with the deck stacked against him now, and still wins, that's it. That's it for Drew. There's no reason left to keep this going anymore. He beat him clean at WrestlePalooza. Drew has everything in his favor now. And if Drew McIntyre still can't get the job done, then Drew is a loser, and it's time to move on from Drew McIntyre. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. I know what I would do. But when this show was over, I just didn't feel confident that, okay, now I can see them. Now they're going to do it. Like, no, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't feel that way. So I like the fact they added those steps, and the Ilya Dragunov Nathan Frazier match was easily the highlight of the show. The rest of the show was boring. It's skippable. It was like SmackDown regressed. You know, I know they were moving along certain things. They're trying to push the MFTs hard. This MFT thing is a complete fail. I'm sorry. The MFT experiment so far, if they refuse to do something with the MFTs where they further character development with the individual members of the group, and even then I'm not sure if it's going to work, but that would be something that I think would interest me, depending on how they go about doing it. In the absence of that, this does nothing for me. Absolutely not. And they could change their attire. You know, they have new outfits now, and now Tama Tonga doesn't even have an outfit anymore. He's showing off his physique, and they have, you know, war paint on their faces. I don't give a shit. This shit is boring. It's just fucking boring. And I know Solo can be very entertaining. He has it in him to be funny and entertaining. We've seen flashes of it before. But I'm sorry, the MFT shit is just fucking boring. It's Timu Bloodline. Solo Sikoa is not someone who's in a position where he should be leading his own faction. I've said this about Seth Rollins as well. I've said this about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is not somebody I think who can adequately lead his own faction. Seth Rollins as part of a faction, as one member of a group, we've seen that many times. That's fine. That can work. But I felt that way even with Seth and the Vision, like him leading his own crew. He's just not that guy. So now you have Solo Sikoa, who's doing the same thing on this show, and they're really trying to push these guys and get something going with them as a heel faction and put heat on them, and God bless them for trying, but it's not working. It's just not. And it just actively drags the show down. They had multiple segments on the show. How many segments did the MFTs have on the show tonight? Four? Five? Right? At least a couple of backstage segments and then a match. No wonder. I don't want to put it all on them. This show has problems far beyond the MFTs, but yeah, that did not help things tonight at all. But let's talk about this Saturday night's main event card here. I will point out to you that I am going to be live, not as the Macho Monster, but I am going to be live tomorrow night back here on the channel in less than 24 hours, talking all that goes down at Saturday night's main event. Good, bad, or indifferent. So join me. It's a 7 o'clock Eastern start time for the, I guess, would it be considered a PLE? Would you call it a PLE? I guess it would be a PLE. So when that's over, probably around 9:30, maybe 10 p.m., that is when I will be live here on the channel. Here's the lineup. There were no new matches added, so this is it. Right here, we got four matches. We got Dominic Mysterio defending the Intercontinental Championship in a triple threat match against Rusev and Penta. And I do not see Dom losing the championship, especially if he's headed for a match with John Cena. I would say fear. I know some people are just waiting with bated breath for John Cena to become a Grand Slam winner. I don't give a shit. But if they are going to do John Cena and Dominic Mysterio, I suspect the title will be on the line in that. So he's not losing his championship tomorrow. We have Jade Cargill against Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship. Jade is going to win the title. Jade is sort of in a position similar to that of Drew McIntyre, where it's sink or swim. It's time to nut up or shut up. Because Jade Cargill is another one who, as a babyface, she got beat by Tiffany. She's had a couple of different opportunities now, actually three different ones. She's failed to win the championship every single time. Now she's turned heel, and then you're going to turn around and beat her. And not only that, but think about this. What were they teasing all night? What was Nick Aldis going around and talking to her? Oh, please, you know, are you sure you're good? Are you sure you're good? And Tiffany's like, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. She's got a knee injury. She's not even 100%. So think about that. Jade Cargill, who just turned heel, is going to go in there, lose to a one-legged woman. Absolutely not. That cannot happen. Jade is going to win that title. To me, that's a foregone conclusion. Which leads to the other two championship matches. We have Cody and Drew for the WWE title. As much as I would love to be wrong, I don't think I am. I think Cody leaves Salt Lake City as the champion. And then we have CM Punk. And we have Jey Uso. Four letters. One word. Yeet. Yeeting his way into what I believe is going to be the main event of the show. And we'll see. Are we going to have a new World Heavyweight Champion crowned? I kind of hope not. And I hope they could find a way to drag this into Survivor Series, especially if the Vision is not involved in War Games. Right? Then what else would they be doing? Maybe they can do some kind of tournament. I don't know. But if we are going to have a new World Heavyweight Champion crowned, I believe it is going to be CM Punk and not Jey Uso. But I'm not convinced that we are going to have a new World Heavyweight Champion. We'll see. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll here. See what you thought of this shit show tonight. What did you think of the Halloween edition of SmackDown? A very appropriate 36% thumbs up to 60, almost 64% thumbs down. Good. Good. This was not a thumbs up show. Oh, man. Let's get into these. Let's have some fun. And then we get to do Double B the Booker later. Actually, where are we? Are we doing Double B the Booker? I haven't even checked the likes. Yes, we will. 436 likes. I know we can do better. We hit the goal, but I know we can do better than that. So let's see if we can get that up to at least 550. Did I see the Seth Rollins interview this morning? Yeah, I saw he was in a bear costume. I know he's a big Chicago Bears fan. He was in a bear costume on Good Morning Football, and everybody's running now with him saying that, oh, he's going to be out for 6 months. Here's the problem, though. I can't believe anything he says. He's already lied to us once. So is he going to be out 6 months? Is he saying 6 months and then he'll be back in 4 months? I don't believe a word he says. So to me, that's not real news. Holiday 197 says, hi, Solo. I think the plan is for Cena to win the Intercontinental belt at Survivor Series and drop it to Gunther in his last match. Then we get Gunther against Sheamus at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship, where Sheamus finally wins. Well, I'll tell you what. If that ends up being the plan, I am totally cool with another Gunther-Sheamus match with Sheamus finally winning. It's been a while since we've seen them in the ring together, and if Sheamus gets that moment at WrestleMania next year, then it'll all be worth it. That I'd be okay with. Dry Chicken says, it's the good son scenario. Save one and let the other one go. Girl Next Door Brunettes edition from Halloween movies. Neve Campbell or Winona Ryder? Neve Campbell. Sorry, Winona. It's Neve Campbell, who is going to be in the new Scream 7 movie, by the way, if you didn't see the trailer for the new movie. Boy, they're really beating that thing to death, aren't they? Scumdog 420 says, Happy Halloween, so. Happy Halloween, Scumdog. Thank you very much.
Happy Halloween, Gonna go trick-or-treating with Elizabeth.
He used to call her Elizabeth. You ever notice that? Not Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Dried Chicken says, it's the zombie apocalypse. Name five male wrestlers and four females from any wrestling promotion to help you in the apocalypse. Why do we need to assign numbers to this? Just ask me, like, who would I take with me in a zombie apocalypse? As far as male wrestlers, I'm going to take the biggest, nastiest fucking guys I can find. I'm going to take Brock Lesnar. I'm going to take Vader. I'm going to take, let's see, who else am I going to take? Bruiser Brody. Sounds about right. Women, taking women with me in the zombie apocalypse. I'll take Rhea Ripley. I think she could handle things quite well. Rhea Ripley and Chyna. How about that? Ragnarok, this show peaked with the U.S. title match. Thank God for Ilya Dragunov against Nathan Frazier. Dude, it was the only redeeming thing on the entire show. Like, legitimately the only redeeming thing on the entire show. The Seanathon, $10 super chat. If you get a chance, you should check on WWE's YouTube channel for Wyatt 6 going to Universal for the Firefly Funhouse. Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. It was very heartbreaking, actually. Because you could just see how emotional that Rowan was, you know, talking about Bray and Brody, and they had that one swamp room that was in there because the camera was following them around as they went through the house. And then he was hugging and crying with Jason Baker, who's the effects artist who worked a lot with Bray, especially on the Fiend stuff. So yeah, it was a very heartbreaking thing to see. Holiday says, I think Dragunov has potential to be thrusted into the SmackDown main event scene when his U.S. title reign ends. He puts on really good matches. Oh, no one's denying that he puts on really good matches, but it is going to take more than that for him to get any sort of sustained push in the main event scene in WWE. You know, in WWE, you've got to connect with the audience in a particular way. You've got to be able to confidently cut promos, which I think he can do. And you've got to be able to, you know, back it up in the ring. I mean, he checks all those boxes. So I'm not saying he can't be someone who can consistently be in the main event scene. But, you know, WWE, I think, is very particular about what they look for in certain people who are featured like that. Do they see that in Ilya Dragunov? I don't know. But I'm with you on that. Holiday says, oh, thank you, Holiday. That was the super chat I just read. It says, give me back shots, Solomonster, on Halloween. How about I give you some cotton candy? How about that? I'll give you some cotton candy. I'll give you some candy corn. A couple of Twix bars. What would an Anawai-less WWE look like for a year? It would look like a totally different company is what it would look like. It would look like AEW. Sidro is with us. And Sidro says, husband says to wife, my Olympic condoms have arrived. I think I'll wear gold tonight. And the wife says, why not wear silver and come second for a change? It's Sidro with that Halloween humor. Look at this guy. I got to refresh this list now. We've had a lot more messages here. I'm gonna make sure I don't miss anybody. We got Duff's Vids is with us as well. We might have a little competition here between Sidro and Duff's Vids. $9.99. Chris Jericho countdown played again on SmackDown tonight. I'm saying he's returning in 30 to 45 days. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And that's all right. Happy Halloween, everyone. During which segment did you hear this Chris Jericho countdown? It's the second time you've mentioned this. Sidro, what kind of magazine do cows read? A cattle log. We got Nick. Triple H putting himself front and center on the WrestleMania 42 poster is the perfect image for what's wrong with the show right now. Dude is more focused on making himself the face than actually booking a decent show. He does seem rather obsessed, doesn't he, with making sure that his face is on just about everything. I think someone's enjoying their position a little too much. Duff's Vids, what do vampires use to make tea? Tampons. Oh my god. Yes, I get it. Disgustingly, I get it. Duff's, that you are just horrendous. He says, what do you call a witch that lives at the beach? A sandwich. See, now that's a more family-friendly Halloween joke. That right there is a clever joke. Sidro with the 13 Macho Man Super Chat. The brand new Randy Savage Super Chat. Yeah. Did you hear about the witch that had triplets? She didn't know which was which. And what's the difference between bird flu and swine flu? One requires ointment and the other requires tweetment. Oh, you earned that one.
You suck.
You earned that one. Venom Kitetsu with a $40 AEW Sickos Super Chat. 4-day work week starting in January. This means I can actually catch SmackDown reviews live regularly. That's awesome. It'll be good to have you with us. I'll also set up a membership soon thereafter. Hope the Halloween whiskey is treating you as well as mine. Cheers. Cheers to you, too. Got the whiskey. What flavor is this? Oh, this is mild. We got the Slim Jim here. Want your protein? Got 6 grams of protein in that. Skywalker. With the $4.99, says, why haven't you ever mentioned the WCW promo that occurred on Monday Nitro in October of 98 between Rick Steiner and Chucky the Doll? I know I've mentioned it before on the podcast, It might have been like 10 or 12 years ago, but I've definitely mentioned it before. Apparently, he was just exposed to this wonderful segment just recently. Yes, that was a real thing, by the way. But see, Chucky was very lucky, because Chucky was, I think, if I remember, he was on the Tron. I don't believe Chucky was there live. So Chucky did not have to be subjected to Rick Steiner tying him down to a chair in the back and doing unspeakable things to him. Duff's Vids with a $9.99. A guy went to a Halloween party with a girl on his back. The host asked, "What are you supposed to be?" He says, "A snail." Host asked, "Who's that on your back?" Replies, "Oh, that's That's... that's Michelle. You know, it took me... I'm not afraid to admit, it took me like 3 or 4 seconds. And then when I got it, I got it. Of all the ones to get me. Michelle. Super Pony just got done watching H2O again for the first time in years. I think it's the third best in the franchise behind H1 and H2. That's the one with LL Cool J, right? It's like 20 years after the first one. It's not the worst one. Not one of my personal favorites, but it's definitely not one of the worst either. Boots with a 10. What's going on, Boots? Should Tony Schiavone call in sick for the next couple of days? I have concerns that Samoa Joe might kill him. I'm not convinced that Tony Schiavone even exists. I think Hangman Page might have been playing Tony Schiavone going all the way back to the WCW days. He did so well on Wednesday night. That was honestly one of the best like closing segments on Dynamite in a very long time. That was really well done, what they did at the end of Dynamite. Thank you, Just G. Just G says, "Great costume, Solomonster." I may have to make this a regular thing here. I look so good in this costume. Bobbert, no message, just dropping some love with that $45 Ghoulberg super chat. Thank you, Bobbert. Street Fighter 88. Just wanted Asuka to jump scare the chat. Keep up the great work, Solo, and happy Halloween. Thank you, brother. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, World Mental Health Day recently passed on October 10th, but just because that day may have come and gone doesn't mean we can't take a moment to say thank you to all the therapists out there. BetterHelp therapists have helped over 5 million people worldwide on their mental health journeys. Whether it be coping with a loss in their life or finding out how to become a better version of themselves, BetterHelp is honoring those connections and the therapists who make them possible, and is showing just how easy it is to get guidance from a licensed therapist online. I've used BetterHelp myself in the past for something that I would consider minor, but you'd be surprised how quickly something minor could turn into something major if left untreated. For me, it was incredibly helpful just to have someone to talk to, and for that I will say thank you as well. And if it helped me, I know it can help you too. Finding the right therapist can be life-changing, and BetterHelp makes that process simple. They do the initial matching work for you so that you can focus on your therapy goals. You fill out a short questionnaire that helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate mean they usually get it right the first time. But if for any reason you're not happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. And all BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. As the world's largest online therapy platform with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp has an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on more than 1.7 million client reviews. The numbers don't lie. This World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapists who have helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Solomonster listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Jeremy Rose with a $22 super chat. U.S. Open challenge idea. We continue to have the champion lose like Sammy did after a few challenges. Everyone tries to continue the tradition, and eventually it ends when a heel wins and refuses to continue the challenge. Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. The heel is just like, yeah, fuck that shit. I'm not defending my title every week. That's what a heel should do. We got Joaquim with a $9.99. Had to add an extra few dollars before you decided to backhand me. I've the U.S. title are the U. I've the U.S. tittle are the best part of Friday. Oh, also, my name is pronounced Yu Kim. Okay, see, thank you. I thought it was Joaquim. Yu Kim. Yu Kim, thank you for the $9.99. He agrees. See, the U.S. title open challenges are the best parts of this show on Fridays. Wee-wee almighty. A 26-year-old Kyle Fletcher against a 26-year-old Randy Orton. Who's better? Kyle Fletcher is very good. I still go with Randy Orton, though. There's just certain... it's even just the small things. You know, he was... You know, not that he doesn't still have that in him now, but he was just so smooth and so good at everything he did. I still go with Randy Orton, but Kyle Fletcher is great. Kyle Fletcher has hopefully some world championships in his future. Duff's Vids, a man who was in court for stealing a bag was sentenced in 3 minutes. It was a briefcase. A very brief case, yes indeed. Did somebody say 3 minutes? Isaac, worst movie, Halloween Ends or Resurrection? Resurrection. Will always be. What's a ghost's favorite means of travel? This is from Boots, by the way. A boosicle. Sorry, Boots. I'm sorry, brother. I gotta call it like I see it. Paul Hamilton. Yeah, I didn't catch it when it came in, like, as far as the name that was attached to it, but look at that. I gotta give him another shout out there. Paul Hamilton, the Portland pop star himself, and one of the nicest guys I've ever had the pleasure of interacting with. Big fan of the show for many years. Big supporter. Dropping a $100 super chat. The big bomb of the night goes to Paul. Silver Shamrock would be very disappointed in this SmackDown. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, Paul. We talk about that Silver Shamrock commercial every single year from Halloween 3. Still got that jingle in my head. I just watched it yesterday. Temjin Zephyr. Also, big supporter of the show. $50 Gunthar Bomb. Happy Halloween, Solo. Since you watched Sinners, where would you rank it amongst your list of favorite horror movies? You know, that's tough. I mean, I rank it among, I think, some of the very best vampire movies that I've ever seen. Like, if I had to make, and I think I answered a question in the mailbag once about this, like a vampire movie, Mount Rushmore, it would be on there. That would be on there. The Lost Boys would be on there. Fright Night would be on there. All-time favorite horror movies, it's not in my like top list. I don't know where it would rank, but like I don't have it in the top five or anything like that. Thought it was an excellent movie, but I can't say it's in that like elite class of like my all-time favorites. Bass Beerus says funky like a monkey, too sweet to be sour. The Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour. Funky like a monkey. Ooh, yeah. he's got to be, outside of Hogan, right? He's got to be the most, like, impressioned wrestler of all time. He has to be. He has to be. It really is Hogan and Savage, even to this day. The Boss Mo Jackson. What's going on, Boss Mo Jackson? Good to hear from you. Sending my regards to my brother Solo. Thank you, Boss Mo Jackson. I hope you had a very happy Halloween. Toya. Toya ain't nice. Hey, Solo, love your costume. Thank you, Toya. I think it suits me well. Definitely makes me stand out. Actually, I should take my take the hat off here and just have the bandana on. Look at that. Yeah, I take my hat off to you, Toya. Here you go. Diego, I know people are done with Grande Americano over there, but the run and connection with the people down here in AAA is fucking amazing. Dude, like, the reactions that Kaiser gets as El Grande Americano and the reactions that Dom gets, like, those guys are superstars on a level in AAA that they are not in WWE. And Dom is pretty popular in WWE, but, like, nothing like it is in AAA. It's pretty incredible to see when they go down there how beloved they are and the reaction, both of them, especially Dom, but like the reactions that both of them get. So they got something special. They just have to keep milking that because they come off as like these big megastars when they're down there. The Boss Mo Jackson, today or tonight, he says, tonight, I played as myself. I was Mr. Fine Man. See, I almost read that wrong. I thought that said tonight I played with myself. That's what happens sometimes when you read these super chats too quickly. And I was like, Boss Mo Jackson, that's fine. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. Everyone spends their Halloweens differently. You can play as yourself. You can play with yourself. Whatever makes you happy, brother. Duff's Vids, what do panda ghosts eat? Bamboo. Solo when he sees Stephanie Vaquer's tweet. Well, now you're getting into Solo After Dark here. Cataclysmic, $10 super chat. Happy Halloween, Solo. I've noticed you seem pretty into the 80s. Yeah, you've noticed, huh? And wanted to recommend the soundtrack from the game Hotline Miami, especially Carpenter Brute. Hotline Miami, I don't think I've ever heard of that game before. I am going to make a note right now. Hotline Miami soundtrack. Thank you, brother. I will definitely look into that. Always love a good 80s find. I'm also a big fan of synthwave. Synthwave, retrowave, vaporwave. G Barry Free, I would pay good money for a hog. For a hog? I know what you mean. For a hog and DPW collab show. Well, hey, I mean, look, anything's possible. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. With a five. Happy Halloween, Solo. Just completed my 31 days of Halloween. I watched a horror movie every day this month. Ended it tonight with Sinners. Well, you made a fine choice because that was a great movie. So was Weapons, by the way. You didn't see Weapons? Sinners and Weapons. Two of the best movies of the year. Tuxedo T Servo, no message. Just showing some love with a $15 super chat. Thank you, brother. Tuxedo. Much love. I will snap into a Slim Jim here for you. And Caden Crawford, thank you for the membership. I see Caden on TNT on Tuesdays. Much love to Caden. Alexander, Julia needs to have U.S. Open challenges every week. Well, the problem with that, I don't think they have the women on SmackDown right now to support an open challenge every single week. And the other thing also is, if she starts doing that, naturally you're going to get people who are going to start comparing the two open challenges. And I just don't see the level of competition on the women's side on that show right now being that it's not comparable to what they have on the men's side. I just see people comparing the two and being like, oh, yeah, this is underwhelming. That's the problem when you do two of the same thing on the same show. Naturally, they're going to be compared. But I don't think that the women's roster on that show right now, without any sort of reshuffling or additions from NXT, it's not going to last more than a few weeks. So unless they change that, then I don't see the point in doing that. Holy Shit Wrestling. Buy, rent, sell. Letterman, Leno, and Conan. Conan is my number one. Conan, to this day, is still hilarious. But you go back and watch some of those old classic Conan skits, especially the remotes that he would do on location, or even the Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog stuff, any of his Clueless Gamer videos. Like, Conan is just the best. So I'm going to buy on him, I'm going to rent on Leno, and I'm going to sell on Letterman. I never got into Letterman. I used to watch Leno. I never watched, I shouldn't say never, but like I was just never like a Letterman guy. Bobbert Reviews with the 25. Yeah, in the year 2000. In the year 2000. Remember that?
In the year 2000. In the year 2000.
Those were great segments. Bobbert Reviews. I think Cody did attack Jacob Fatu, but not alone. Cody probably asked his old friends for help. People who are ex-AEW stars. Oh, so now we're getting into the conspiracy theory versions here. Chris Jericho going to come back and be what, aligned with Cody? I don't see that happening. Creative, but I don't think that's going to be the case. J.R. Vacher was hoping for Ilya Dragunov versus Consequences Creed with Waller being Rocky, Kofi being Duke yelling, throw in the damn towel. Just do a complete recreation. Ilya Drago. Yeah, I see what you did there. Ilya Dragunov. Boots, should WWE have a Grande Americano No Mama's Guay shirt? I don't know what the fuck that means. Shirt on the Shop Zone. I'm going to say no. But I will admit, I have no idea what you just said. No Mames Gooey? Is that what it is? No. I'm sure I just butchered that. No Mames Gooey. Oh, man, I'm so white. The Yatagaratsu. In a perfect alternate world, the pimp monster crashes through the wall instead of the Shockmaster. The pimp monster. Should I change my handle? Is that going to be the new name of the show? The pimp monster slaps off? Is that what it's going to be? Henry Chinaski. That should be your new look. It works for you. You know what? I tend to agree, honestly. But it's one thing to wear this on October 31st. If I was sitting here, let's say on, January 2nd, wearing this, I think that might be a little weird. Or maybe not. Dry Chicken says Brock Lesnar attacked Jacob Fatu. Well, if Brock Lesnar attacked you, you might lose some teeth. So, I mean, that's believable. But no, I don't think Brock Lesnar attacked Jacob Fatu. Henry says, I watched a pay-per-view of dwarves in a little ring with little weapons, and it was more entertaining. Shout out to Micro Wrestling. You guys are killing it. Is Micro Wrestling still a thing? I remember that from many years ago, but I didn't know. I didn't know that there was if it's the same show or promotion I'm thinking of. I didn't know if it was still active. It's not weird on YouTube, Solomon. So you're probably right. There is a lot of weird shit on YouTube. Jeremy Rowe should have four new champions tomorrow, but Triple H is lame. Yeah, you're not getting four new champions tomorrow. That I can promise you. Eight Nine Tech. Saw some comments of RVD and Henry on the Raja Jackson situation. Made me shake my head. Are there wrestlers out there to look up to? There are, but yeah, there are a lot of wrestlers, especially some old hats, that over the years have really exposed themselves and said some things. Like, there'll be some sort of incident and they'll chime in on it, and it's like, what? It's like, is it the CTE talking? Maybe. It might be. It's possible. Or they're just terrible people in some cases. You kind of get a mix. But there have been a lot of people from, like, that golden era that over the years... you know, you hear about some of the people that you like, you watched when you were younger, and you know, they let you down, or they just make you shake your head. But there are wrestlers to look up to. You know, Mick Foley is one of them. Mick Foley has, I think Mick Foley, when you really look, especially his post-career trajectory, and, you know, some of the charities that he's been involved in, he's one of the good ones. You know, and there are others, too. If you just look hard enough, you'll know where to find them. Dry Chicken says, I need to give WWE Creative, including Michael Hayes, Bruce Pritchard, and Road Dogg, buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken and biscuits as a gift. You're trying to clog their arteries? Is that what you're trying to do? Street Fighter, did you see Stephanie Vaquer's Halloween outfit? Yes, that was the one from earlier that I read, and I quickly went to go see what he was talking about, and I was not disappointed. So thank you, brother. Temjin, put Aliens on your playlist too. I've had people tell me that, yes. It is on there. Sigmundus. With a $5 super chat. Hey, Solo, hope all is well. How would you book Liv Morgan's return? I wonder if Dirty Dom will be in the world title picture by the time she gets back. I don't think he will be. Not yet. For Liv Morgan, honestly, I mean, at this point, it probably just makes sense to save her as a Royal Rumble surprise. And she doesn't even have to win it. You know, because I don't know if they have her in the plans for the Women's World Championship match at WrestleMania. I could see that as Stephanie and Rhea. But if not, I could see her in the Rumble returning and then maybe eliminating Roxanne, or Roxanne eliminates her, and you just go from there, you know, with that story. You got to pick up with the Liv and Roxanne stuff, because you could kind of see like it was going somewhere, even though Roxanne was being all nice to her. I'd like to see them and like to think that they would pick up with that. Dry Chicken says, if you see an invisible man in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? If I see an invisible man, who am I going to call? I'm going to call the psych ward and get myself some help. Until they tell me my insurance doesn't cover it. So then I won't do anything. Sidro, where do cows shop online? Temu. Ooh.
What the fuck?
I hit the wrong button. Temu, that was a good one, though. That was a good one. I hit the wrong button. I can't believe it. Sidro, what do you call a man with nice binoculars? Seymour. Of course. Furious Nation with a $4.99. What's up, Solo? Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, sir. Ooh, yeah. No pun intended. Thoughts on Eddie Guerrero's daughter, Sherilyn, starting her wrestling journey? I did hear that. I think she's training with Booker T at Reality of Wrestling, and I wish her well. Apparently she wants to get into it. I don't know how old she is, but she shouldn't be that old. So I guess, you know, never too late to start on that journey, so I wish her well. Paul Carpenter with $2. Who wins, Punisher or Batman is soft? Soft, he says, is soft compared. Who wins between Batman or Punisher? Batman. Sidro. Wipes a window. I see through her and she's a pain. P-A-N-E for those listening to this on the download. Sidro has a way with words. Retro KOH. Why is dark spelled with a K instead of a C? Because you can't see in the dark. Also, what do you call more than one Batman? An orphanage. Thank you, Retro. Cameron Spencer is with us as well with a $4.99, getting in on the Halloween fun tonight. Braun should leave the Vision and start a group with Waller, Miz, Omos, and Ivy Nile. He could be the heel champion and lead the group. Are you down for that? No. No, I'm not. How did you come up with that motley crew of people? Like, I'm all for them using Omos. See, I think Omos should be... I mean, he could be like a modern-day version of APA, you know, offering his services to anybody for protection. I think I saw him or some tweet maybe from him kind of teasing something like that, but I think that would be a great idea for him. They should definitely be doing something with him. They pulled him away from Japan to do what? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out why they were in such a fucking rush to pull him away from Pro Wrestling Noah, where he had to vacate the tag team championship. To do what? Have they used him once since then? It's ridiculous. But yeah, that group is not going to do it for me. I'm sorry. That's a no-go for me. Henry says, what's the better movie, Iron Claw or The Wrestler? I saw them both very good movies. For me, it's The Wrestler. Brian Finelli, why do ghosts love elevators? It lifts their spirits. Happy Halloween, Solo. Thank you, Brian. Happy Halloween to you as well. Isaac, buy or sell, Jason goes to hell. Well, that was me watching SmackDown tonight. Or Jason goes to Manhattan. Well, that was, okay, so part 8 is Manhattan. And part 9 is Jason goes to hell. Part 9 sucked. So I'm going with Manhattan, and I'm selling on Jason goes to hell. Because that movie was awful. Velvet Floor with a $10 super chat. Shout out to the Sala Monster. Happy Halloween, sir. Happy Halloween. Velvet Floor. Let me get my glasses on here. There we go. Now I can see. Dried Chicken. $5 super chat. Pick your poison. Join the House of Tortures Halloween party or join the Don Callis family's costume party. I'll join the Don Callis family's costume party. Okada, man. Okada's doing some great fucking work right now. I want to hang out with those guys. Paul Carpenter with a $5 super chat. Do you think Dragunov is sloppy? The way he and Frazier fell off that turnbuckle was sickening. Do you think you should slow down and not rush things? Why do you say Dragunov is sloppy? Nathan Frazier moves around like a fucking bullet every time we see him in the ring. Why would that be Dragunov's fault? Like, I say that all the time when I see Dragunov, man. He's like a lightning bolt. If anybody has to slow down, it's Nathan Frazier, not Ilya Dragunov. So, no, he's not sloppy. The Joker's voice. Hail Solo. You mentioned Synthwave. One of my favorite bands of that genre, The Birthday Massacre. Happy Halloween. I'll have to check them out. Thank you, Joker's voice. We got Super Pony. If Drew loses again, he's just Scottish Kevin Owens. Talks a big game in the feuds, long overdue for another title run. We'll probably never get it again. I think he will. May not be tomorrow, but I think he will. Kevin Owens, on the other hand, assuming he comes back, I'm less certain about him getting one again. Rome Collector 84. No Mames Gooey. I know I'm saying that wrong. I apologize. But he says it means no way, dude. It's slang phrase. I assumed it was slang for something, yes, but I just had no idea what it meant. And now I do. Someone's got to tell me the right way to pronounce it. Duff's Vids. The Jericho countdown sound starts at the 56-57 second mark after Cody and Aldis's convo and before Alexa and Charlotte come out. Okay. I didn't hear it, but I might not have been paying attention to the show at that exact moment. We got Mega X Zero Forever with a $10 super chat. Have you ever thought of also streaming on Twitch? Thank you for your streams. Randomly found one day. I had given up on wrestling until I saw a random TV tracks. Met many great friends watching. Yes, I cannot tell you how many people have told me that they first got exposed to the show from a clip, an old clip, when the TV Tracks channel used to post clips. He was a big fan of the show. He did that with a few different big podcasts and got a lot of exposure that way. And people still to this day, and we're talking 12, 13 years ago, and still to this day tune into the shows and the streams, so I'm very happy to hear that. I'm very happy you enjoy the shows. And as far as streaming on Twitch, have I thought about it? I have thought about it. I mean, Twitch approached me many years ago, you know, with like a contract and an NDA, and I never signed it. And, you know, I don't know. I've heard stories from people who are on Twitch. I just don't think it's worth it right now, honestly. I don't. I think better to just focus on YouTube right now. I can't say I won't one day. I need to be able to see the benefit in it, and right now I don't. So for now it's YouTube. But who knows? Down the road I won't rule it out. And we got 89 Tech. Are you into watches? What watch do you wear? I know people who are into watches. I am not one of those people. I'm not really big into the watch scene. I wear an Apple Watch because I use the Apple Watch to track certain things and when I'm at the gym doing certain workouts. So I wear a smartwatch. So I can't really speak to some of the classier watch brands and the more expensive watch brands. There's some really cool looking timepieces. I've seen some of the watches some of my friends have. They're very, very nice, but I'm just not really into that scene. Sidro. Why won't monsters eat ghosts? Because they taste like sheet. Thank you, Sidro. We got a member chat, 28 months. Oh, yeah. Look at this. B-Money04 coming off the top rope. Says, hey, Solo, happy Halloween. Just wondering if you haven't already, do you plan on watching the It Welcome to Derry series on HBO Max? I've had a couple of people ask me about that. I'm not, just because I feel like I should probably watch the newer movie, which I have not done. I really need to get like into the It universe. I was never a big It guy. So before, and same thing with like the Aliens TV show. I think it's on Hulu. I just feel like I need to watch at least some of the recent like movies before I get into the TV show. Same thing with The Penguin on HBO Max. I haven't seen the Pattinson Batman movie yet. I know that's a direct sort of outgrowth of the movie, so I just want to get caught up on that stuff before I get involved in any of the TV series. If I need to. Maybe there's no need to, but I would rather do that first. Shout out to Dark One, one of our new channel members. Number one, Homo Sapien, 13 months of membership. Says, what did the big chimney say to the little chimney? You're too young to smoke. Very nice. Thank you, Homo Sapien. Happy Halloween. We got Dubs Viz. Why are mummies so stuck up? Because they're wrapped up in themselves. They are. Conceited little bastards. Boots says, no ma mess way. Are you okay, Boots? Are you having a medical episode right now? I'm a little worried about you. I'm a little worried about Boots. He's not making any sense. Dry Chicken says, let me tell you how Carlito can get a lot of heat on Halloween, brother. He gives out apples instead of candy. I don't know. I mean, if I rang Carlito's doorbell and he gave me an apple and I knew who it was, I'd be fucking honored. I'd be like, shit, I'm never eating this apple. And then it would like rot and turn brown and shit. But like still, you know, I could say that this apple was given to me. But can you imagine like somebody gets an apple years ago from Carlito and just holds on to it this whole time? They don't preserve it the right way. Just it's like all fucking brown and shit. Oh, man. Someone would still sell it on eBay, though, for like $1,000. Rome Collector says, no mamas sounds no... Oh, I see. Okay. Boots was trying to phonetically spell it out for me. You got to tell me what you're trying to do here. I'm reading his super chat. It says, like, no mamas way. I'm like, what? Okay. No mamas. I got it. And gooey is way. Boy, I was way off on that. No ma mess way. Got it. All right. I got it. The Juliet says, happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Pillow VP. Have you watched Caddo Lake on HBO Max? I would recommend if you liked Dark. I've never heard of it before. I love Dark. Dark is, for those who don't know, Dark is a, no pun intended, a dark German show on Netflix. There were three seasons. That was it. And I didn't know what to expect going into it. It was really good. I will warn you, though, it gets very confusing because you're talking about time travel. And it can get very confusing as far as like who's related to who and who is this person when they were younger. Now they're old. Like outside of that, though, great show. But I literally had to go online and look up a gigantic, it was like the Anawaii family. I had to go online and look at this like fucking bloodline family tree just to keep track of who was who. But Dark is a great show. And do me a favor. I mean, unless you have issues with subtitles, then I understand it. But like, just watch it in German with the English subtitles because you got to hear it in their voices. Like some of the dubs on Netflix. I mean, there might be some good ones, but my God, some of the dubs for these shows, these foreign language shows, are fucking awful. Hydrograd says, happy Halloween, Solo. Which of the three Halloween movie timelines is your favorite? The Jamie Lloyd timeline, the H2O timeline, or the 2018 timeline? Jamie Lloyd. I actually like part 4 and 5. They're not, especially 5. It's not like a great movie, but they were on earlier today, actually on AMC. I like 4. I like 5 less, but I like 4 and 5. If I had to rank the Halloween movies, I'm not going to rank all of them right now, but like my favorite ones, I go 1, 3, 2, 4, and 5. So basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but I swap 2 and 3. That's how I would rank them personally. Although I will say, The first one from the trilogy in 2018, that was a very good one too. So maybe I would rank that one higher. But anyway, so those would be my favorite ones. I probably would put the 2018 one higher now that I think about it. We got Levi Latova, 13 months of channel membership. What's going on, Levi? Says, hey, Solo. Said this on JD's channel, but I had a rough year. My mom had passed in May. You, JD, and Jesse helped me get through dark times. Thanks. I'm very sorry to hear about your mom. My condolences on that. That's I know that feeling, and it's a very shitty feeling. So I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad that we on our respective channels can bring you some form of entertainment that could help take your mind off that and take you away from that dark place, because I know how dark that can be. So you're very welcome, and I thank you for the support. Venom Katetsu says, do a shot or a swig. A shot of what? I don't have anything here. All my bottles are downstairs. Super Pony, Halloween 5 is not better than H2O, LOL. Okay. Maybe to you it's not. I have a soft spot for those 80s movies. Now, if you were to ask me, the mask from 5 is horrendous. It's probably the worst mask in the entire series. That I would agree with. And Dark One, have you ever watched the BBC show Doctor Who? I have not. I have not watched Doctor Who. Man, you guys have rocked it with the questions and the messages and the comments. Man, you guys are awesome. And we are approaching 600 likes. I know we can hit 600. We're like 562. Let's see if we can get to 600 before we get out of here. But before I get to any other messages that come in, and get them on in here before we get out of here. But first, it's time. Ooh, yeah. It's time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Solo Macho or Macho Solo? I like Macho Solo. How about we go with that?
I like it. I like it. Always thinking, thinking, thinking.
All right, be the booker time. We got a double dose of be the booker. I know you've been waiting with bated breath for this. Here we go. We are going to begin. Why? Why? Now look at these two schmucks, okay? They look like a couple of guys who are in their Halloween costumes. Shitty Halloween costumes. Techno Team 2000. They will not be inducted anytime soon into the Hall of Fame. It will be Techno Team 2000 against the Rock and Roll Express. And you know, as much as it pains me, because the Rock and Roll Express, one of the greatest teams of all time, even they cannot save this match. I just can't do it. You know, Techno Team 2000 would be like a couple of guys who would wrestle the Rock and Roll Express on a Saturday morning, one of those enhancement matches. All right, on the women's side, let's see. Let's see if we can level up here. Sol Ruka, how about that? Yeah, surfs up. There she is. Going to be a big star. Sol Ruka is going to go one-on-one with Alba Fire. You know, some people may forget that Alba had a hell of a run as the NXT UK Women's Champion back in the day. Now she's just a background player in the Secret Hervis. But at one time, she was a pretty dominant champion in NXT UK. And our first main event of the evening. Let's see. What are we going to land on here, man? Halloween. We got to do good. We have the Beast. We have Brock Lesnar in the main event. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. We're going to have ourselves a 6-minute Brock Lesnar win. Is that what we're headed for here? Is that what we're going to get in Be the Booker? Brock Lesnar against Big E for the WWE Championship. Oh, that's definitely going to be a Brock Lesnar win. Well, I, for one, would love to see Big E back in the ring. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I'm glad he's in a good place and he's healthy. But let's not kid ourselves here. We know exactly how this match is going to end. And he might get more time than his boy Kofi did when he wrestled Brock. But the end result is going to be the same, and you know it's true. So now, we move on to round number two. Round number two. I got a member chat here from Clone Force. Game 7 tomorrow. So they are going to a Game 7. How about that? That's exciting. Oh, that's going to be up against See, I would have watched that. I hope that doesn't eat into my audience tomorrow night. Game 7 tomorrow, and I hope my Dodgers win tomorrow. And Ohtani will play outfield tomorrow. And he'll play outfield tomorrow at right field and will also pitch. So basically, you're banking it all on Ohtani. Well, it's not a bad person to put your fate in, I guess, although he didn't do too well last time. All right, here we go. Well, if this isn't appropriate for Halloween, our first match is going to be a Mountain Dew pitch black match. Very appropriate. It's going to be the first ever Mountain Dew pitch black tag team match. This has only been one, and it was a singles match, but this is going to be a tag team match. Oh my God, it's Veer and Sangha. Indu Share. I forgot about these two. Remember when they changed Sangha's character in NXT and he was like, he would be meditating or what was he doing? Yoga or some shit. But he was able to show off more of his personality. And I thought, yeah, there could be something here. And then they just turned him back. Maybe they called him up and then they just turned him into this mute monster. And then they just released him. Yeah, Veer came, and then he came again, and then he left. Cody Rhodes and Goldust in a Mountain Dew pitch black match against Indu Share. I hate everything about this. I'm sorry. Well, there'll be no clean sweep, but that doesn't mean we still can't book some bangers here. We're going to have an exploding barbed wire death match. It's going to get very bloody here. I guess that means we're booking a men's match. I'm not doing an exploding barbed wire death women's match. Fucking land on Kelly Kelly or something against Maryse. Can you imagine? Yeah, let's do Kelly Kelly and Maryse. Or Rosa Mendez in an exploding barbed wire death match. We have broken... Oh, poor Matt. We have broken Matt Hardy. Has this man not suffered enough over the years, all the bumps he's taken? Now we're going to put him in an exploding barbed wire death match? Oh, my God. Broken Matt. Actually, that was Woken Matt. Oh my God. Brock Lesnar and Matt Hardy in an exploding barbed wire death match. Just the idea of Brock Lesnar in an exploding barbed wire death match gets a bell from me. First of all, never in a million years, I will be the world heavyweight champion, main eventing WrestleMania, before Brock Lesnar would ever agree to be in a match like that. But just the idea of it, the mere idea of it, the visual of it, is bell-worthy. Boy, Brock's a busy guy tonight, isn't he? He's worked more tonight in Be the Booker than he has in the last, like, 5 years combined. All right. Well, we got one match left. Actually, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to do a little bit extra tonight because you guys have killed it. So let's do a women's match. I'm sorry, ladies. You're going to be in a Kennel from Hell match. It's to the dogs. I don't control where it's going to land. Just it lands. It has a mind of its own. It lands where it wants to. Oh, my God. We have Riho in a Kennel from Hell match. Man, Riho, she's tiny. Like, she could fall from the top of the cage and be eaten by these dogs. Riho. Riho. Against Tiffany Stratton in a Kennel from Hell match. Ah, fuck it. Actually, you know what? Tiffany and Riho by themselves would actually be a pretty good match. This is, yeah, this is truly some Halloween booking. Very scary. Now, I said that we were going to do a little extra here. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring the stipulations back. All right. And we're going to do some intergender action. I haven't added it officially yet. I'm still undecided. I don't think I'm going to add it as a new round. I think we're going to save it as the occasional, like, super chat goal. But let's do intergender. One tag and one singles with stips. I like that. So we'll do tag match first. And it's going to be, oh my goodness, everybody, take a look at what we have here. It is Tony Khan's dream match. It is a Tony Khan dream match. And it just so happens to be an intergender tag team match. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to pick two women, and then we're going to pick two men. Very simple. So on the women's side, we have, oh, it is Ultimo Monet. It is Mercedes 12 belts. Look at that. The TBS champion, Mercedes Monet. She's going to win another belt. This is for the intergender tag team titles. She's going to claim number 13 tonight, isn't she? This is perfect. Mercedes and Julia. Now that is actually a hell of a team. That is a Tony Khan dream team. Mercedes and Julia are going to be a team. And now we find out who they're going to be fighting. Here we go. Yeah, Tony Khan definitely booked this, says Zachary. Who will they be wrestling for these intergender tag team titles? We have... Oh, my God. Oh, boy. A little history there between Sammy Guevara and Mercedes. There is a little history there between them. Sammy Guevara is in this match. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Sabu. We got Sammy Guevara and Sabu against Mercedes and Julia. I'm going with Mercedes and Julia to win the titles. That's what I think. I say Sabu turns on Sammy Guevara. That's what I think happens here. At the finish, he turns on Sammy. And then the women win the belts. That's how I'm booking it. Mercedes gets belt number 13. There it is. So now we have to, but now we have our singles match. This is the real deal right here. This is the real main event. We have our intergender singles main event. And it is going to be on a pole, bro. I don't know what's going to be on the pole, but there's going to be a pole involved. Boy, I got an update on Vince Russo this weekend on the podcast. He's back. Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about that on the Sound Off. Well, it's on a pole, bro, but this is our main event of the evening. We got to make it a good one. Asuka and Goldberg. Oh, my God. Asuka and Goldberg would be fucking amazing. That would be fantastic. We have Molly Holly, the superhero. There she is. Molly Holly, who works for WWE. She actually works behind the scenes in WWE. All right, so it's going to be Molly Holly. Molly's a good wrestler. Mighty Molly. That's right. She's Mighty Molly. Oh, poor Molly. I have to see this. This would be very entertaining, but my God. My I don't care how Mighty Molly thinks she is. She's no match for Big Papa Pump. Scott Steiner. Look at this. The Big Bad Booty Daddy. Sounds weird when you call another man that name, but that's what he called himself. Mighty Molly and Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. See, and now you know why they don't allow intergender wrestling. Because you may end up with a mismatch just like that. Well, that was entertaining to think about those possibilities. There you go. You got a healthy dose of Be the Booker there tonight because you guys killed it. You guys earned that one. And now we got some more super chats here to get through. This is the last of the bunch here. So get them on in. We got Super Pony. Actually, no, we got to go back. We got Alex. Alex with a five. Brother Solo, can you explain how close Vince and Savage were? And do you think they ever healed their friendship before Randy passed away? My understanding is no, they did not heal their friendship. They were very close at one point. I mean, Savage was part of the inner circle there in many ways. And I think he just felt really betrayed when Savage left and went to WCW. And there, I know there's, again, urban legends about other things that went on that I don't believe. So, yeah, they were very tight at one point and just... They never repaired that relationship. Dry Chicken, Techno Team 2000 against Rock and Roll Express. The Zombies can be the Lumberjacks at ringside. Oh, God. Remember that? Reminds me of that zombie match they had. What was it? Was it The Miz and Damian Priest? Was that the match? Sponsored by that Batista Netflix zombie movie? Hydrograd, fun fact, if you YouTube Techno Team 2000, the first video that pops up is a video from WWE's official channel titled is that true? Titled Boring Tag Teams Techno Team 2000. That's hilarious. I feel sorry for them now that you mentioned that. We got Mr. Sanchez here. Have you ever been into shoes? Jordans, Nikes, Yeezys even. Oh, well, yeah, I got me a pair of Yeezys over here. Ever watch some of the complex sneaker shopping with WWE stars? I'm not like big into like sneaker culture. I have watched those complex videos though. They did one with Dom and Liv probably earlier this year. So, and I think Punk too. So yeah, I've seen those videos. And I'm always blown away when they go to the cash register to check out at the end and the bill is just like thousands of dollars. I'm like, dude, I'm still wearing the sneakers I bought like 6 years ago. When they are finally run into the ground, I will buy a new pair. Actually, I have two pairs. I have that and I have a pair of Skechers, slip-ins. Dry Chicken says, woke and mad against Brock Lesnar. Chucky and Freddy Krueger as the special commentators. Chucky and Freddy, huh? As the special commentators? With JD and Solomonster? That would be an interesting commentary team. Devin from New Jersey. Could Solo see a WWE one day where Cody is in the Triple H role running the company and CM Punk in the HBK role running NXT? Yes. And Cody has already expressed interest in being in that spot. Like they've said, there's already competition where like Seth Rollins might want that spot. Cody might love that spot. Although I can see him getting into politics. And Retro KOH, buy, rent, sell on the better gaming sidekick, Tails, Luigi, or Diddy Kong. God, Diddy Kong was just fucking annoying. It's got to be Luigi. You ever see Luigi in the that video? My God, the Mario Kart video where he gives the side eye. Then he runs somebody off the road. I'm telling you, man, Luigi has got a murderous streak buried deep within him. I'm buying on Luigi. I don't really care for the other two. I found Tails to be annoying as well. When I used to play Sonic, I would try to race as quickly as I could so that he couldn't catch up with me. I would like jump into a pipe or something and... Yeah, Tails was just very annoying. Diddy Kong wasn't much better. Anyway, thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support. Macho Monster, gonna put the hat away until next year. Maybe we'll bring this back next year. We'll see. But seriously, if you could see how long these tassels are, it is ridiculous. It is just ridiculous. But see, when I put my arms out like that, and I did the little twirl before. See, now that's authentic macho man right there. All right, now let me get the... There is one thing I have to do, though. I cannot end this stream. We have someone who I know is watching. And I think he'll be very disappointed if I don't do this. But I do this for him. Even though I'm the macho man here tonight. Joseph Stewart, I know you're out there, brother. I appreciate all the support and all the love on all the streams. This one's for you, buddy. We got to bring out the Batman tonight. We got Batman Monster here. We got a few more super chats coming in, actually. We got Navy 4181. Says, I hated the zombie lumberjack stuff during the pandemic happened during the Monday Night Wars. Would either company have survived wrestling in empty buildings? I think that as hot as wrestling was back then, yeah, they would have survived. You know, obviously that era would not have been as white hot as it was. Not even close. But I don't think wrestling would have just died. Presuming, of course, that they would have been allowed to do shows every single week, I think they would have survived. Wrestling would look very different, though, if we didn't have that whole era the way that we did. This might be the wildest image, by the way. I'm looking at myself in the Macho Man costume with the bandana on and a fucking Batman mask. Like, is this not the weirdest fucking image that you've ever seen here on this stream? This is ridiculous. This is actually like I've like morphed these two costumes together. What is even this? I don't even know what this is. And Alex says, do you think WWE is intentionally taming Mariah May's tenacity and ferociousness when it comes to in-ring and promo work? Yes. She was never going to be allowed to say and do all the things she did in AEW. You know, but she's also not even hit the main roster yet, so we have to wait and see. But if you thought you were going to get Mariah May, I don't know why you would have thought that. You know, WWE has limits on what they will allow you to do. So, I mean, that was Mariah May. This is Blake Monroe. They're two different people. But again, Halloween's my favorite holiday. I always have fun with it. I enjoy it for the one day a year. Hopefully I made this stream more entertaining than SmackDown was tonight. I hope I was able to at least accomplish that. But thank you for hanging out with me. we get to do all of this over again, minus all the costumes here, in less than 24 hours, because we have Saturday night's main event. And I will be live when that show is over. You got a podcast out of me on Sunday, episode 936. So I hope you will tune in for that. You know, we made it up to number two again this week. Number two wrestling podcast in the U.S. on all of Apple Podcasts. I was sandwiched right in between the two Cornette shows. It was like a Solid Monster sandwich. I was the creamy middle of the sandwich. One of these weeks, we have to knock him off his perch and get to number one. I can't do that without you. So make sure you check out that podcast on Sunday. Be well. Stay safe. I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Take care.